All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, for the message this morning. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. I'll begin reading in verse 41. Verse 41. All right, starting in verse 41, the Bible says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." So Joseph and Mary were religious Jews. They went every year to the feast in Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Verse 42, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it." I noticed it didn't say his father and his mother, because Joseph was not his father. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. All right? So they left him in Jerusalem. Did you catch that? They went a whole day's journey and then realized he was not with them. I bet you Joseph was in trouble, don't you? Don't you think? Yeah, I bet he never heard the end of that. Verse 44, "But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him." So they were a day's journey away, and then they had to come a day's journey back. But those of you that have been with me to the Holy Land, you know that Jerusalem sits right on top of those mountains. And so that's why the Bible says, always says, going up to Jerusalem. Because no matter which direction you're coming, you have to go up to get to the city of Jerusalem. And so not only were they a day's journey away, but it was downhill. And now they're coming back, and now it's uphill. So it would have taken longer to get there than it did to get a day's journey away. Reading on. "And when they found him not," verse 45, "they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him." All right, so one day's journey away, one day's journey back, 3 days searching. So 5 days altogether, they have lost their 12-year-old son. "After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors," the PhDs, all right, "both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." All right, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. What can a Christian lose? What can a Christian lose? All right, let's pray together. You keep your Bible open and in the message. Father, thank you now for our time together this morning. And thank you for this passage of Scripture that tells us that Joseph and Mary could not find their son. And Father, we can only only imagine the fear and the despair that was in their hearts. But I pray you'll help this morning as we look at this, make a comparison and use this scripture to to base the message upon, and I pray you'll help me as I speak. I pray you'll bless and speak to hearts through the message. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. This verse that I read for you this morning is the story of when Joseph and Mary had taken the Lord Jesus to Jerusalem. He was 12 years old, so they made the trip, according to verse 41, they made the trip to Jerusalem as they did yearly and took their son, the Lord, with them to celebrate the Passover, but he was 12 years old, so they would have connected another rite to that, which would have been his bar mitzvah. And that is the celebration when a boy is 12 years old, where they dedicate him to the Lord as an adult. All right, so it is every Jewish boy has a bar mitzvah when he gets 12 years of age. Now, on their way back to Nazareth, they were no doubt traveling for safety purposes in a large group from Nazareth of family and friends who came to celebrate with them not only the Passover, but also the bar mitzvah. And in the hustle of the day, they assumed that Jesus was in the group as they traveled an entire day's journey away from Jerusalem, and then realized at the end of the day that their son was not with them. Now, folks, imagine the despair when they realized that they had lost their son. All right, now, let me transition right here. I want you to think of this. This is something I want you to think on and to get your mind wrapped around. Even though they were a day's journey, his parents, and he was in Jerusalem, they were a day's journey apart, he was still their son. Please understand that. He did not lose his relationship. You follow me? He did not lose his relationship. Mary was still his earthly mother, and Joseph was still his foster father. The relationship had not been altered at all. Not a bit. Not one bit. They quickly went back to Jerusalem, another day's journey, and then spent 3 days searching for him. Why? He was their son. The relationship was not severed at any time. Now, what did they lose? Let me ask you this. What can a Christian lose? Well, let me just say, a Christian cannot lose his or her salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. There are many reasons why you cannot. Let me give you one argument this morning. That is because salvation is a relationship that you have with God. You entered into that relationship the moment you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. In John 1 and verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So when you got saved, you established a relationship with God. Salvation is a relationship with God. You see, you're not saved because you do good, and you are not saved or not lost, not unsaved, because you do bad. You are not saved because you join a church So you are not lost because you quit the church. You are not saved because you take communion. So you are not saved because you don't take communion. You see, you're saved because you were born into a family as a child. Let me say it this way. You cannot undo the birth process. You cannot undo it. You can't get born. You cannot be born and then say, well, I changed my mind. I want to be unborn. No, you can't do that. And neither can you just not become a child of God. Once you are a child of God and you have truly accepted Christ as your Savior, you have truly been born again. You're in a relationship with God. You are a child of God. And nothing can sever that relationship. My mother gave birth to me on September the 10th, 1954. I may not have always been the kind of son that I should have been. Matter of fact, I was not. It's not that I may not. I was not always the kind of son that I should have been. But no matter what I did, I was always my mother's son. Always. No matter what I did. Now, I lost her fellowship many times, but I never lost her mothership. She, no matter what, she was always my mother. I wasn't always the kind of son I should have been, and there were a few times when I thought she couldn't stand me simply because of the whoopings that she gave me. I remember one time she said, I'm doing this because I love you, and I thought, you sure are expressing it a funny way. And she lit me up with a metal flash water. And I had shorts on. And I looked like a screen door when she was done with me. But no matter what, I was her son. No matter what. I was her son and she was my mother. And absolutely nothing could change that. I wish folks would understand this. I wish you'd get this. I mean, isn't it amazing how the Lord chose to talk about our relationship with God in terms of relationships that cannot be broken? Isn't that amazing? The Lord said that we are the children of God. Now, if we were God's friends, that relationship, a friend relationship, can be broken. If we were God's neighbors, that relationship could be severed. If we were God's partners, that relationship could be broken. But the Bible says that we are His children. And if you are someone's child, you are their child forever, period. You got that? The point is, you cannot lose your salvation. Now, let me illustrate this from the Bible. Do you remember when the children of Israel left Egypt? I talked about this last week. And we learned that they went down to the edge of the Red Sea. And that cloud that led them there went back over top of them and stood between the army of Pharaoh, his 600 chariot army, and the children of Israel. And then Moses took his staff and touched the water. And when he did, the water parted. And the children of Israel, all 3 million of them, went across the rift that God made on dry ground. And when they got over on the other side, Moses held the staff up again, and Pharaoh and all of his soldiers had come down into the trench chasing after them. And once they all got down in the trench, boom, and they all drowned. All right? So, what did children of Israel do? Well, you read your Bible, you check your Bible, and you will find out that they marched from there to Mount Sinai, where they got the law, where Moses got the law. And then they marched to Kadesh Barnea, a town. And when they got to Kadesh Barnea, that's when they sent the spies over. Remember that? The 12 spies, one from each tribe. And the spies came back and they gave an evil report, all but two, Joshua and Caleb. And so the people believed the majority, and the minority were ignored. And God said that that Joshua and Caleb would get to go into the land, but all the rest of them would die in the wilderness. And they did. 40 years they spent. They got all the way to Kadesh Barnea. All they've got to do is cross the river. They got right to the edge of the land, and all they had to do was cross the river. But they did not do that. And they turned around and went back into the wilderness. But now, wait a minute. They did not go all the way back to Egypt. You with me? They went back into the wilderness, but they did not go all the way back to Egypt. Now, when you read the story, you will see that there was a time when they griped and they said that they wanted to go back, but they could not. They could not go back. There was a time, you remember, when they said, we want to go back to Egypt. We remember the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They must have been real hungry. If you're remembering onions and leeks and garlic, you're hungry. And they longed to go back, but they didn't. And they didn't go back because they couldn't go back. You say, well, Pastor, why couldn't they go back? Because there was a Red Sea that stood in front of them. And God did not dry it up for folks who wanted to go backwards. He only dried it up for folks that were going forward. They could not go back. They could not get across the Red Sea. Now, they wanted to, but they couldn't. They could not go back even though they wanted to. And here's the point, folks. You cannot lose your salvation once you are genuinely saved. Now, I think there are some folks who got sold a wooden nickel, and they think they're saved, and they're not saved. But once you are truly born again, you cannot lose your salvation. There are some things, though, that a Christian can lose. And I want to talk about those this morning. Number one, what can a Christian lose? Number one, wait a minute. I know y'all would like to have this, but I have to do that. I'm sorry. I know it's annoying. Number one, a Christian can lose his fellowship with God. Now, please understand this. You cannot lose your relationship, but you can lose your fellowship. When Jesus was lost from Joseph and Mary, the relationship stayed the same. But the fellowship didn't. Mary was still his mother, but the fellowship was broken. They were a day's journey away. They wanted fellowship, but he was not there. He was a day's journey away in Jerusalem. The fellowship did not the fellowship changed, but not the relationship. Absolutely nothing changed in the relationship. Listen, Christian, it is important for us to keep our fellowship with the Lord as strong as we can keep it. Everything we lose as a Christian, we lose when we lost our fellowship with God. When you lose your fellowship, right there is when you go into sin. That's right there. And when you lose your fellowship with the Lord, right there is when you lose your power with God. And notice here, notice that they lost this fellowship in just one day. One day. How long does it take to get away from God, to backslide on the Lord and get away from Him? One day. That's all it takes. In just one day's time, we can get away from the Lord and get into trouble. There's a song that, I don't know if it's in our hymn book, probably is though, and it goes like this. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Let me tell you something, folks. Everyone who has ever gone into sin started by breaking fellowship with God. You'll never lose your relationship. If you are a child of God, you will always and forever be a child of God, but you can lose your fellowship with God. Everyone who has ever gone into sin started by breaking fellowship with God. There are those who have become unfaithful to their church, and they started off by breaking their fellowship with God. Those that have lost their power or quit their service for the Lord or quit soul winning have done so because they left and broke fellowship with God. Secondly, a Christian can lose his power with God. Oh my, you don't want to do that. Do you remember who the strongest man in the Bible was? Samson, exactly right. You all get an A. Very good. Samson, do you remember who picked up the gates of the city and carried them uphill for miles? Samson, exactly right. Do you remember who would have the Spirit of the Lord come upon him? And when he did, he was able to fight off hundreds of Philistines all by himself. But what happened to him? What happened to Samson? Well, you will remember he lost his power because he lost his fellowship. And after he lost his power with God, in the next scene, we see him grinding at the mill like an animal, bound, chained, and grinding at the mill. Look at King David. As a teenager, David had great power with God. He was able to kill the giant, you remember. He was able to kill a bear with his bare hands. He killed a lion one time with his bare hands. He took a sling, put a rock in it, and spun it around his head. And when he let it fly like a laser-guided smart bomb, that thing went and hit Goliath right between the eyes and dropped him like a hot potato. You say, oh, David, he must have been something else. No, he was just like you and just like me. But what made him different was the power of God that was upon his life. David lost his power, however, in one day. You know the story. You know how he lost it. He lost it by, and here's a little outline for you. He lost it by loafing. He lost it by looking. And he lost it by lusting. He lost his power with God. You see, when he should have been out with his men fighting, he stayed home and he looked off of his balcony one day and he saw Bathsheba, and boom, sin caused him to lose his power with God. Folks, I'm telling you, if you want to make sure you keep your power with God and keep your fellowship with God, let me encourage you to do one thing. Get involved in the ministries of the church. Find you a hole somewhere and get in it and work for the Lord. David lost his power in one day, and he lost it by loafing and looking and lusting. Now, folks, listen very carefully here. If Samson could lose his power, then so can you and so can I. If David could lose his power with God, so can you and so can I. I do not want to lose that sweet heavenly dove that settled upon my ministry all those many years ago. Christian, listen, don't lose your power with God. Whatever you do, don't lose your power with God. You don't want to get on your knees one day when a crisis comes, when one of your family needs prayer. You don't want to get on your knees and pray, and the prayer hit the ceiling and bounce back down and hit you in the back of the head. Keep your power with God. You say, well, Pastor, how can I keep from losing it? Well, that's simple. Don't lose your fellowship. Don't lose your fellowship. You can't lose your relationship, but you can lose your fellowship, and you can lose the sweet hand of God and God's power upon your life. And you don't want to do that. Then thirdly, a Christian can lose his joy. I've seen a lot of that. All I have to do is go to the grocery store. I never go to the grocery store, but what I see ex-church members. I never do. I see. I can't go to the restaurants around here without, hey, Pastor, how you doing? Hey, Pastor, how you doing? I mean, and you look it in the faces, and you just see that they've lost their joy. I say, how you been? Well, you know, how's the kids? Well, and then you hear the sad story. But no Christian can keep his joy once he or she breaks fellowship with God. What happens to us? Well, first we lose our fellowship with God, and when you lose that, then the line of communication is broken, and before you know it, you're going about your business, and sometimes even serving God, but without his power. Do you know where Jesus was lost by Mary and Joseph? Do you know where he was lost? He was lost at church. He was in church. They lost him at church. Hey, you can lose your fellowship with God while attending church three times a week. You can lose your fellowship with God while attending Carroll Christian Schools. You can lose your fellowship with the Lord while you're working on a bus route or teaching a Sunday school class. You can have the biggest bus route in the entire church bus ministry and still lose your fellowship with God. I'm simply saying that in just one day's time, you can lose your fellowship. In one day, David lost his fellowship with God. He wasn't out to battle with his men like he should have been. And he looked out the window one evening and saw Bathsheba, and he lusted after her. And it only took one day for him to lose God's fellowship and God's power and God's and his joy. Take your Bible and go back to the Psalms for just a moment. Go back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. This was written right after David's sin with Bathsheba. You remember when Nathan the prophet came in and Nathan stuck his finger in David's face and said, "Thou art the man." And man, that pierced David's heart like shooting an arrow into him. And so David penned this psalm. You know why David was a man after God's own heart, even though he was a sinner like you and like me? But you know why he was a man after God's own heart? Because when rebuked for his sin, he got on his knees and repented to God and made it right. And that's what Psalm 51 is all about. Look at it. In verse 1, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He's praying for mercy. Look at verse 2. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." Jump down to verse 7. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear" what? "Joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities." Notice here, folks, he is asking God to forgive him in about a half a dozen or so different ways. He's just going all over and over asking God to forgive him for what he had done. He said in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." What happened to his spirit? Oh, it got all fouled up. And it does when you get away from the fellowship with God. You get away from fellowship, that's when you turn on your church. That's when you turn on those that love you. Sad, isn't it? Your spirit gets all out of whack. Look at verse 11. "Cast me not away from thy presence." He lost his fellowship. And now he's asking for that fellowship to be restored in verse 11. And then he says, "And take not thy Holy Spirit from me." And then look at verse 12. "Restore unto me the" what? "Joy of" what's the next word? "Thy salvation." Now, notice that. Notice carefully. David did not say, "Restore unto me my salvation." No, he did not lose his salvation when he sinned. He lost his fellowship when he sinned. He lost his power when he sinned. He lost his joy when he sinned. What did the author of Hebrews tell us? The author of Hebrews told us that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son. You see, when you lose your fellowship, that's when the chastening comes. God takes out his spiritual paddle And he just wears you out with it. And if he can't turn you around, he just takes everything away. His joy, not the relationship. You can't lose the relationship. You were birthed into the family. And you can't lose that. I'm sure there were times when my mother said in her heart, no, there wasn't. Not one time did my mother ever say, I wish you weren't my son. I never heard that. Now, I broke her heart several times. And she made me pay for it several times. But we never broke the relationship. She was still my mother. And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy. It's God's salvation that he gives to us. David did not lose his salvation. You cannot lose that. What he lost, though, when he lost his fellowship and when he lost his power, he lost his joy. I don't know how many times folks have come into my office and they've sat down and they've told me their story. And I've heard, I just don't have any joy. I'm not happy. Yeah, listen, if you're not right with your parents, it's difficult. It's difficult. Holidays roll around, you're not in fellowship with your family. That's difficult. And you cannot lose the relationship, but you can lose your joy. Then number four, I want you to know that a Christian cannot or can lose his rewards. A Christian can lose his rewards. We cannot lose our relationship. Our relationship with God is as eternal as God himself. But we can lose our fellowship. We can lose our power. We can lose our joy. And number four, we can lose our rewards. You see, the Bible teaches us that when the Lord Jesus returns and takes us to heaven at the rapture, we're all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Bible says that judgment seat is a time of reward gain or reward loss. And there are five crowns that you and I can receive from the Lord. Five. There is the crown for suffering. There is the crown for soul winning. There is the crown of faithfulness. There is the crown for separation. And number five, there is the crown for loving his appearance. Loving his appearance. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, did you ever walk in on your little kids, your little children, when they were doing something that they should not be doing? I told you the story when we lived down in Dixie. I was babysitting the brood one day, and I heard... The girls were just little, just babies. But I heard some noise in the kitchen. And I thought, well, what's he doing? So I got up and I sneaked down the hallway. And I looked in just as he was shutting the door. He heard me and slammed that door shut. And I said, what are you doing? He said, nothing. I said, really? I said, what are you doing? Nothing. I said, then why do you have grape jelly all over your face? And when he knew he'd been caught, he did this. And John said that you and I ought to live the Christian life so that when the Lord Jesus returns, we won't go, uh-oh, I got caught. John said that you and I would not be ashamed. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I hope I can get all five of them. Although I doubt I'm going to get to one for suffering. Because I've not had to suffer. I've not had to suffer. In 43 years, I've never been hit. I got swung at once, but I didn't get hit. And I'm sure that nobody in here is going to break my 43-year record, right? I hope so, anyway. I've never been shot. I've never been shot at. I've never been punched in the mouth or in the nose. Now, I've been threatened a lot, but I don't think that counts. But wouldn't it be an awful thing to stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ and have to look into the face of the one who gave his life for you? Wouldn't it be awful? You have to stand there and look into the face of that one who went to the cross, died, shedding his blood until he was gone, giving his life's blood, dripping one drop at a time, who was buried and then raised again the third day, and who lovingly reached down into the pit and lifted you out and then cleaned you up. He put a new song instead of all that cursing you used to do. He put a new song in your mouth. And he put a robe of righteousness on you. And he put a ring on your finger. When I said, I do, to Karen, the preacher said, what token do you give of the sincerity of your vows? And she said, this ring. And that ring is symbolic of our relationship, husband and wife. And Jesus put a ring on your finger because you're now in the family. And wouldn't it be a shame to be standing there without anything to give back to him? You see, we're going to take our crowns that we receive and we're going to place them at his feet. And wouldn't it just be tragic for you to stand and look at Jesus and say, Lord, I am so sorry that I have nothing to lay at your feet. I see all these others casting their crowns before you. But Lord, I have nothing. I wasn't as faithful as I should have been. And I just don't have anything. I'm telling you, folks, I don't want to lose my reward. I hope you feel the same way. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you lost your fellowship? Be honest now. Be honest. Have you lost your fellowship? Have you spent time with the Lord Jesus in fellowship in the last 24 hours? Have you read your Bible? Have you prayed? Look, by the way, that's how long it took Joseph and Mary to lose Jesus. 24 hours. One day. Look at your Bible. Luke 2. Y'all done put your Bible up? Don't put your Bible up. One little verse. All right, look at verse 46. It says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they, what? Found him. Are you there? After 3 days, they found him. Where'd they find him? In the temple. Listen, folks. If you've lost your fellowship, I tell you where you can find it. You can find it right where you lost it. You can find it in church, getting right with God. You can find it right where you left it. Have you lost your fellowship? Have you lost your power? Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your rewards? Man, I don't want to lose any of these things. I don't want to lose any of these things. You cannot lose your relationship. But boy, you can lose some of these other things, and they're important.